covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
That is a statement as strong as you can make in August. Brewers win the series and the season series over the LA Dodgers. How about it? Brewers get the dub. Everything's rolling along great. The crew, man, it's amazing how they got themselves off the deck. It's so impressive, given how bad it was leaving San Diego and how bad it was for the first eight innings of that game on Thursday night. And now they respond, winning three out of four. The comeback on Thursday is going to be circled and highlighted and shared forever if this season goes the way it goes, because then they bounce back. They beat up Tarek Skubal, the guy that everybody wanted. Oh, I shouldn't say beat up, but they got to him. They saddled him with a loss. And Logan Henderson outduels the guy that everybody wanted him to be traded for. So plenty of narratives to go around with this one. I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine is here with us too. Augie, I think that the way I have to start with this game is just the elephant in the room that is the Brewers wanted Skubal. They made him work. Logan Henderson was the guy that the Brewers refused to include in the trade. And I said it after his last two starts when everybody owed an apology, given how great he's been pitching. I double down on that. I triple down on that, saying the Brewers deserve your trust. This is why Logan Henderson was not available in this trade.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. You talk about what he's been performing, how he's been going out there. You look at it, he's got three quality starts in a row. Here's a young man that's going out there and trying to start new highs for himself, new standards for the way he approaches himself on the mound. Today, going that seventh inning, boy, he was grinding it when you saw what he was going through the last at bat of going deep into it, kept feeling that ground ball running over first base. He sets a new standard for himself. And that's what we see out of this young pitching staff. This is a young pitching staff that really, they're in the big leagues. They're trying to learn what it is to pitch during a 162-game season, how they're going to react, what they have to do, trying to make themselves better, setting new standards for not only themselves, but for the staff also. And I'll tell you what, today, Logan Henderson was fantastic. The way he threw the ball, the way he used his fastball and his off-speed stuff, the changeup, his breaking ball when he had to. I'll tell you, he threw the ball very, very well.
You know, what jumps out to me about Logan and what makes me so impressed with his repertoire, I mean, truly deep down at its core, he's just a two-pitch pitcher with his fastball and his changeup. It's kind of a show-me cutter. Lately, he's been incorporating the sweeper, which is something I really want to watch, because I think that's a really good fit for him. But to say, hey, you're facing the lineup that, you know, is one of the best lineups money can buy, you're going to face a handful of lefties, you know, your changeup plays well against that, but yet, you know, to come out and give up a line drive single on to Shohei Ohtani's first batter of the game, 112 off the bat, but then he retired, you know, all but one of the next 11 batters, I believe it was. He had a couple of strikeouts in there. What I'm always impressed with Logan Henderson, similar to what he did on Monday night in San Diego, what I'm always impressed with is the fearlessness in the strike zone. He's always competing in and around the zone. He had 8 0-2 counts today. He only had 3 3-ball counts. I just truly feel there's a, you know, an attitude of here it is, hit it. You're going to look up at that radar gun and see 93 and be so confused. And I really think he's proud of the fact that he's virtually 50-50 with fastball changeup. He doesn't light up the radar gun like Miz did yesterday. And yet he still goes 7 strong, 3 hits, 1 run on a homer, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts.
Yeah, he threw the ball so well. You know, he's the type of guy, and you look at that changeup. I think he has two styles of changeups that he likes to throw. He has one which he really sweeps off the pitch and really fades way to the outside, more of a tailing style changeup fastball. And then he's got the one that is short and quick, and it goes straight down in the lower part of the strike zone. He's been able to use those, and you change the speeds when he wants to with those pitches, and they've been very, very good for him. You'll see him throw that changeup and set that a little bit, go let it fade out, that pitch-up that goes away from a tailing fastball, and then he'll be able to locate his fastball to good locations. And I think he's just so good. You know, you did say two-pitch pitchers, but the way he utilizes those two pitches by the tailing that he does have on the one changeup and then one changeup that he'll throw down in the strike zone, down and has a more of a sink type put, getting on top of it more. He's just got so much command. He's fearless with it. He knows that when he commands the changeup, when he can throw for strikes, that he can use his fastball wherever he wants, and it makes it difficult to hit because he locates it so well. Now he's starting to incorporate, like you said, starting to bring in new pitches in, and he's just going to make them better and better. But I'll tell you, today was a highlight for him. Going that seven innings, he wanted to get that seventh inning and so bad, and when he just was bearing down in that seventh inning and got through that inning, I'll tell you, he just set a new standard for himself, and that was great to see because he deserved it. He pitched so well.
Well, I mean, if the Brewers didn't score two runs in the top of that seventh, after the leadoff walk in the bottom of the seventh, he was probably going to get pulled from this game. So I give Murph credit for letting Logan kind of swim in the deep end a little bit, figure out what he has, because they're going to need this from him from time to time. This is what they tried to squeeze out of him on Monday when they had the short bullpen on San Diego. Of course, we know how that ended with the home run by Jackson Merrill. But today, he gets out of that seventh inning and sets a career high for innings pitched. Again, just kept the ball on a string and was always under control. Had the pitch count under control too. Had the Dodgers on their back foot. I just loved what I saw today from Logan. The other great performer today that has to be in the A block is Jake Rake Bowers. 4-for-4 with a walk. All five plate appearances, Augie, came against lefties. He reached base in all five plate appearances. He's the first left-handed hitter to ever do such a thing against only left-handed pitching. He had a clutch RBI double in that seventh inning. He had an epic slide on the base hit by Andrew Vaughn in that seventh inning. He got a couple of hits off of Tarek Skubal, which was no big deal to him. He's hitting fourth in a lineup. He continues his career here, hitting .275 with an .884 OPS this season. It's just been brilliant this year from Jake Bowers.
Yeah, you know, yesterday we were talking about three guys. I told you about three guys who I think that, boy, they can erupt at any minute. Those are kind of guys you just got to have in your lineup. And when you look at this with this ball club and getting there. But I think you have to add Jake Bowers, his approach to the plate, how quiet he is at the plate, how patient he is, how he looks for his pitches to hit, takes what he's given by the pitchers. And I tell you what, just against Skubal today, the way he just sat back, looked for a part in the zone, was getting his pitch and really put good swings on it. Even against Osai, he just took that ball the opposite way, looking for that fastball. You know, you got to add him as one of those key men in your lineup that, boy, all year long from the beginning of the year when we had so many injuries, Jake Bowers started stepping to the forefront, getting good big base hits, coming in big times in the games, getting home runs on occasion. I'll tell you, he's really stepped up, and you got to look for him in this lineup. That he's one of those guys that you have to have in the lineup each and every day.
I just love the story that has been Jake Bowers all season long. He is your thump. He is your dude that you're saying every lineup now. And then again, against lefties too, right? The splits now, he's having a career year against lefties as well. It's almost not really a split. He's hitting .286 now against lefties. That's actually better than he is against righties, just with less power, of course. But actually, I should backtrack that. Just because he has so many fewer plate appearances against lefties, he's actually got a better slugging percentage by 14 points and a bigger OPS by 19 points versus lefties versus righties. So, I mean, what a story for Jake to find something to improve upon for himself and to get himself this victory for the crew, 6-2 over the LA Dodgers. Those two guys are the headliners. But what else about this series do we have to talk about? Because the psyche and the mentality that this team now has enjoying this off day, finishing the 17 in a row, we'll kind of assess where things stand right now for the Brewers with 5 weeks to go on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win. Series winner again over the LA Dodgers. I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine is with us as well. Also, They beat Tarek Skubal. I don't think we've really spent enough time harping on that. They handed Skubal his seventh loss of the season and his second already as a Dodger. Six innings, seven hits, two runs. Only one was earned because of a bad error by Mookie Betts. Two walks and seven strikeouts. But I just want to point out something about those seven strikeouts today, Augie. Now, Joey had a rough day. Joey got the collar. He went 0-for-4 with four strikeouts. But the bottom of this order really struggled against Skubal. Of those seven strikeouts, I would say three of them, three of them were by guys that are not going to take a playoff at bat. So the Brewers essentially had four strikeouts in six innings of work. It doesn't work like that, I know, but let's call it four strikeouts and four and a third innings. You know, take those outs away. I thought the Brewers had a phenomenal game plan overall against Tarek Skubal, given all the narratives at hand. Two long innings that produced at least a run, which is all you really ask when you get a pitcher on the ropes like that.
Yeah, you know, I liked what they did. Aggressive early in the count. If he's going to throw a strike, they're going to be very aggressive. I liked the way they got patient then and made him go deep in the counts. You look at the counts, he was always going two or three ball counts and going deep to each of the hitters. I just thought their approach today was very good against a very, very good pitcher. They made him throw strikes. They made him be more precise with his pitches. They made him use his off-speed stuff. And if they made a mistake over the middle plate, they put a good swing on it. And you got to like the way they approached him. They did the same thing last time. I believe it was the seventh inning where they came out and they scored some runs. They were able to put some good at-bats. But the way they faced him, patient at the plate, make him throw strikes, make him use all his pitches, make him try and pitch ahead. I thought the Brewer offense really did a nice job against Skubal today.
Yeah, the way that the Brewers really, even against the bullpen too for the Dodgers, because the Dodgers are notorious, you know, Dave Roberts and what they do with their bullpen is they're notorious about the fact they will never chase a win. And for a split moment, they started to chase it using Alex Vezia for the second game against Jake Bowers, because he's who got to him, got the go-ahead RBI in the ninth inning on Thursday, and it went wrong again, a fastball that he doubled to the left center field, where, you know, I just see that the Brewers smell blood in the water. It feels like that again, like this time last year. By the way, today's the one-year anniversary of the 14th consecutive win from a season ago, right, when Andrew Monasterio hit the three-run homer in the 11th inning against the Reds. So it's just like there's good vibes about this time of year right now. And I just sit here and I look for the Brewers to be back to 29 games above 500, back to the best record in baseball, back to five games up on the Chicago Cubs, and could be five and a half up since Chicago plays tomorrow while the Brewers are idle. Even after getting swept by San Diego, and you should have won two of those games, they're not playing that bad now. Is it perfect? No, of course not. Got to get Yelly going. You got to get Contreras going. Good to see him get a hit and a walk and no strikeouts today. All that is to say, this is that big checkpoint in the season where you're going to look and say, before the Dodger series and after the Dodger series, because this, I would hope, could catapult them moving forward for the rest of the year.
Yeah, you take the Dodger series. I know it's just coming in, especially after struggling in San Diego, where San Diego is just playing really good baseball right now. You come in, you got a four-game series against the Los Angeles Dodgers. How are you going to play? But I think, Dom, if you took all three phases of the game, if you took the pitching with the starting pitching and the bullpen, if you took the offense with being able to put the ball in play, scoring runs with two outs, which they did extremely well in this series. I think there's 11 out of 14 or 11 out of 16, 18 runs were scored with two outs. And then you look at the offense, and then you look at defense, making the Dodgers earn their runs. Yes, the Dodgers hit a couple home runs. Yes, they did score some runs, but they made them earn it. And I think when you look at all three phases of the game in this series, the Brewers were better. And I think that's what they're looking for. They go out to play each and every day. They play hard. They try to play the best they can in all three phases. And I think in this series, it showed that the Brewers really kind of outclassed the Dodgers in all three phases.
I think that the way that the Brewers understand the best way for them to play is to really play, not, I don't want to say a chip on their shoulder, but just unashamedly take pitches, grind out at-bats, hit homers almost on accident, right? Where tonight was a day where The Brewers, oh, by the way, the Brewers now have the most games in baseball with double-digit hits, okay? If you're not going to hit homers, you got to do everything else. And today was a day that the Brewers did everything else. They score six runs against L.A. They just hit three doubles. They only went 2-for-9 with runners in scoring position. It's not great, but hey, one more hit with another at-bat, that's 3-for-10, and we're all sitting here smiling because that's 333, or 300, I should say. They still left 10 runners on base. There's still things to nitpick about this offense, but this version of it, with 11 hits and 4 walks, making a guy like Skubal sweat and stress out about his innings count today, I'm thrilled with it. And by the way, they win this series without a single inning or at-bat played by Bryce Terang. I mean, I think that all of that goes into say, with a slumping William who got going yesterday, with a slumping Yelly who's getting bad luck, and having to sign Jonathan Ornelas off the DFA pile to have Lockridge start a game or two, all of this is to say they still won 3 out of 4 without being at full strength. That is huge for your mentals moving forward.
Yeah, there's no question. And, you know, it's just about the way they play each and every day. This team is so good. They know they're still in the month of August. This is a tough part of the season. They got several weeks to go yet before they get into September and things start ramping up a little bit. But this team needs to get healthy, and they know that they have guys struggling. They're going to stay with it. You see the at-bats, you got Contreras leading off today, something he hasn't done this year yet. Just changing things around, and you look at what the order was today, the 3-4-5 hitters were 9-for-13 with 4 runs scored and 3 RBIs. You just see what different parts of this order comes through, and you look at what Skubal was doing. He took the interest in Ortiz that really has been swinging the bat real well. He pitched him pretty tough today, and it really showed. But I'll tell you what, this team goes out each and every day, and they try to play as well as they can in all three phases. And if they do that, they're extremely tough to beat.
Yeah, and for the Brewers, I mean, to be 29 games above 500, now you're getting ready for the Mariners, who are scuffling a little bit right now. And then another big tiebreaker next weekend with Atlanta, so you really can't take your foot off the gas, given you're down 1-2 in the series against Atlanta. Got to win that season series, then it comes down to divisional tiebreaker. Try to get as many tiebreakers as you can. Who's hot, who's cold? It's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Living in Wisconsin means your heating and cooling systems work overtime, so give them the care they deserve with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical's Elite Comfort Maintenance Plan. You can get repair discounts, priority customer service, and more. Visit Sider.com, S-E-I-D-E-R, to inquire today. We'll get a few more texts, get a few more chats in here as well as we'll read them off. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers get the victory by a 6-2 score. They finish up the 17 in a row, going 10-7, despite some adversity in the middle of that, too. So that's a lot to like from the crew in that stretch. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Catronio. Couple of texts that have rolled in here from the 262. Brewers win, Cubs lose, a tale as old as time. Big win against Goliath. Let's go with like a million O's. Alex from Oshkosh, series win and a season series secured. Certainly helps us in terms of the tiebreakers. Off day, get back home with a win tomorrow. Next, this one coming from Nick. What a great performance today by Logan Henderson. 10-7 in the 17-game stretch. What a series, especially after the Padres. This one, the drama lived up to the expectations. Henderson outduels Skubal at their house. The Woodpeckers constant. If you were to go back 17 days ago and ask Brewer fans if you take this end result, most would say yes. A high-quality stretch for a high-quality team. The view is nice from up here. So things aren't perfect, though, Augie. We've talked about this before. We did get some news from Pat Murphy in today's game. They expect Bryce Terang to be back in the lineup on Tuesday against the Mariners, so he gets all 4 days off against the Dodgers, dealing with an issue in his right knee. The Brewers maybe could have Sal Frelick back as well on Tuesday, as he has been going through his rehab assignment just over the weekend, got cleared to throw the baseball again. Maybe they'll ease him back in as well. So Sal Frelick being back, helping get back to full strength. Abney Uribe is still playing catch. They are hoping this is going to be a close-to-minimum stay on the injured list for Abner. But what else is on your wish list, Augie, of things the Brewers need to do, personnel they need to make sure are right as they get ready to go for these final 5 weeks of the season?
I think health. I think you just talked about it. Getting these guys back and getting them healthy and getting in their routines. You know, this is one thing when you talk about a team, there's not an I in team, but there's me. And each one of these me's get better and better. And that's the me's that they have on this ball club. And they form a team to go out and raise their expectations on how good they can be. Do what you do well and do it to the best of your ability. And they understand that, hey, you're going to have bad days. The best thing you can do with a bad day is turn the page and go to the next day. And I think that's the one thing I think about this ball club. I like the way they play. I like the way they go about it. They think strongly about all three phases of the game, of playing well, and if they do that, they're going to win a majority of the games. But I think more than anything right now, we have to concentrate on getting guys healthy, whether it's Uribe, whether it's Terang. Terang said he's going to have to make some adjustments. He might have some troubles with his knee. He's been able to get healthy, though, and that's what we need to have. We need to have this team healthy, and if we have that team healthy going into September and into the playoffs, we're going to be sitting in a good spot.
And I'm putting Kyle Harrison in that bucket, too, because he needs to be healthy. He's kind of the last piece that really makes this really go, because as excited you are about these four starters that you've got with Miz and Henderson, some folks are calling Henderson there, too, which I don't necessarily disagree with, given his consistency as a big leaguer, Harrison and May. Like, those are your four playoff starters right there. That's a pretty darn good four. I mean, it's not better than the Dodgers, but whose is better than the Dodgers? It's the best rotation in baseball. But I think it's a pretty good argument between them and the Phillies for who has the second best rotation in the National League, given you've got Miz as the Cy Young favorite. The Phillies have got Sanchez. They're probably going to be him second or third. You got the Braves with Sale, but then beyond Sale and beyond Bryce Elder, they're hoping Spencer Schwellenbach comes back healthy, and that's still an unknown for them, and Spencer Strider as well. So I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the health like you're saying, but I'm still looking at this starting rotation because they're going to stick with a six-man rotation this next time through. They're going to start to wane off of Shane Drouin and push him into the bullpen because both Drouin and Gasser will likely come out of the bullpen in the postseason. Now, they have to also figure out when Jojo Romero comes back, given he is throwing off of a mound again, probably will start a rehab assignment at some point this week. And the one guy I haven't mentioned yet is Cooper Pratt. Cooper Pratt will hopefully sign a rehab assignment this week from his strained hamstring. All this is to say, when Sal and Cooper come back, I mean, you'll have everybody at full strength again, and you'll get the offense back and what it's supposed to be, start to strategize your off days, because I don't know if you've looked, Augie, but once you get past this Braves weekend, you know, when you've got this tiebreaker on the line with the Little League Classic in the middle of all, after that, you get the Mets, who are playing better, but they're still the Mets. The Rangers, who I can't figure out. I don't know what to make of them. And then, boom, you're right back into 16 in a row with seven more games head-to-head with the Cubbies.
Perfect. Exactly what you're going to do when you talk about September being playing head-on-head with your rivalry in your division. You know, you look at September. September's going to be a lot of divisional play, and they're going to have a tough schedule. I think Philadelphia's in there. But this week is not going to be an easy week. Like you said, Seattle's struggling a little bit. I'd say the Braves are right behind the Brewers. It's going to be very important. But to get healthy, and I'd like to see May get another couple starts with our ball club, and having the confidence of this defense, I think is really going to help this ball club also. So, you know, getting healthy, being able to get on a good routine, getting away from the six-man rotation as they go into September, and they get into that divisional play for the last 25, 27 ball games, it's going to be really important because they're going to be playing inside division. You still have to play well inside your division in order to win. It's going to get really exciting. But this week coming up is a big week. Anytime you play Seattle, which is fighting for a playoff bid, and you're playing the Braves, who are playing very well right now, it's going to be a tough week. So it's going to be interesting to watch.
It will be fun. I still don't think this team is perfect by any stretch of the imagination. There's no such thing as perfect. But if I could say, like, 10 is I'm so ready. This is the exact form I want to see them in heading into the postseason, and the ones at the other end of that spectrum, I'd say the Brewers right now are probably like a 7.5 for me. And probably at the start of this week, it was a 5. So the fact that they're getting on the right direction on that scale, to me, Augie, you can see improvement. You've got Contreras started to break out. Yelly's hitting the ball hard, just getting nothing to show out of it. He had the day off today. And the way I look at it, Churio's white hot. We haven't even mentioned that he had three hits today. You're getting Frelick back. You're going to get Pratt back. And I'm just sitting here smiling, thinking they have not reached their final form yet with, I should say, 6 weeks to go in the season.
Yeah, there's no doubt. This team has their own identity, with whichever way you want to look at it. You know, there's ups and downs with everything, power versus non-power, manufacturing versus power, and all these different things with starting in the bullpen. And everything you do, you can't win unless you have a strong bullpen. This team probably has the best bullpen in all of baseball. And then go out and play the solid defense that they do. They make the other teams earn runs. They have their own identity, and I think when they can get healthy and get in their routine, everybody being healthy, I think that 7.5 is going to eke up a little bit, and you're going to be pretty happy.
Yeah, it's a lot to go for in this one. Now, before I let you go, Augie, I do want to turn back the clock a little bit and talk about an opponent that you faced over the years that passed away today, and that being the one, the only, the lefty, Tommy John. As we all know the surgery, we all know the name. It was a different time, of course. You went up against him a couple of times in your career. What do you remember about hearing about Tommy John? And then as your career continued and more guys started to go with the Frank Job surgery and what that meant for baseball in the late 70s and early 80s?
Well, really set a tone. You know, Tommy John, first and foremost, was a great competitor and, you know, a class of baseball player. I remember one year we got snowed out in Milwaukee and the start of opening day, we had like 14 inches of snow. We ended up flying down to Houston, and Houston was playing at that time, but we'd go in before they would get to the ballpark, do our workout. And one of the guys that was there was Tommy John. And I'll never forget. We had I called it a Tommy John session, where he was in working out, riding his bike, and we had a bunch of players. We just sat around talking baseball, talking pitching, and it was so interesting. You know, the guy was a fierce competitor. He went about it. You talk about a guy who's gone, who did so much for the game of baseball. He's going to be missed. But when you talk about a good competitor, a great individual, a class guy, a friend to everybody, I'll tell you what, Tommy John was one of the best.
Yeah, we'll miss him, 83 years young, a good Midwest guy from Indiana. And Tommy John, you should go look it up, kids. If you haven't heard about Tommy John, he was a heck of a pitcher, spent more time after this Brave surgery in the big leagues than he did before. Three-time All-Star after the surgery. Twice he was runner-up in Cy Young. So our thoughts and prayers to his family. Well, Jerry, you get another victory in the series. We'll talk to you later this week as the Brewers are still the best record in baseball.
10-7 for 17 tough games. That's a great, great record. It's a great showing. Brewers did well. It's going to be a good week. It'll be fun. Can't wait to talk to you at the end of the week.
All right. Jerry Augustine with us on WTMJ. Thanks, Augie.
Great being with you.
All right. Brewers Extra Innings brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. A few more texts and some chats. And just give you a level set on the standings right now. What are the things we got to monitor here for the last month and a half on WTMJ?
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
About a player of the game. There's two great candidates, and we talked about them earlier in the show. Welcome back. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers win 6-2. We're going to the bottom of the hour here on WTMJ. Player of the game is brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive it a summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit iamilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Look, I could give it to Logan Henderson. Career high, 7 innings, only gave up 1 run, 6 punch. But Jake Bowers wasn't retired today, and they threw only lefties at him. And again, Churio scored 3 runs today. He went 3-for-5 with 2 doubles. Haven't really even mentioned him all that much. It's got to go to Bowers for me. What a day. Middle of the order. After we talked about it yesterday, not getting much from the middle of the order, today was the reverse. You know, yesterday the bottom of the order carried. Today was the middle of the order. Combined, of the 11 hits for the Brewers today, 9 of them came from Churio, Bowers, and Vaughn, the 3, 4, and 5 hitters in today's contest. Brewers get another victory This was a good question, I thought, from Ron. What team besides the Brewers are impressive? The AL is weak. San Diego's bullpen is solid, and the Cubs have no pitching. I am still very scared of both the Cubs and the Dodgers, and here's why. You know, I was tweeting back and forth with Mike Petriello of MLB.com and of StatCast. You know, he's saying, oh, yeah, Dodgers have holes, and they're not playing well. Maybe this is the year you get on. And I just respond, I'm like, we were saying the exact same thing at this time last year about the Dodgers. And it's a little bit of revisionist history because I remember the date that we all wrote off the Dodgers was the day that they lost a near no-hitter. Remember, Yoshinobu Yamamoto carried a no-hitter into the ninth inning against the Orioles and then gave up a home run with two outs in the ninth. All right, no big deal. It's 3-1 with two outs in the ninth and nobody on, and they lost that game. Like, that was nuts to me. That was the day that I was like, whoa, wait a minute. This could be really crazy. But a reminder, after that day, after the Dodgers lost back-to-back walk-off losses against the Orioles, at that point, that was game number 142 of the season. All right, so for their final 20 games that year, they went 15-5, all right? And then they took off, obviously, in the postseason. I am refusing to not take the granted. Like, I'm not taking them for granted. The Dodgers can still get Glasnow back. Can still have Snell, who looked great this week against Kansas City. He'll pitch again this week against Colorado. And then you still have, you know, Yamamoto. You've still got Roki going to go to the bullpen probably in the postseason. Maybe Shohei will be out of the bullpen in the postseason. They're still scary, and it just feels like that offense is sleepwalking heading into the postseason. They know they're in. They're just waiting to see who their opponent will be. I'm still scared of the Cubs because they can hit. Now, granted, they took a blow today. Dansby Swanson going on the IL with an oblique strain. More defensive blow than it is an offensive blow, but Dansby's swinging the bat here and there pretty good. And now Edward Cabrera has another blister issue after giving up all the runs he gave up today against St. Louis, so that's something to monitor for them. Their bullpen's still pretty good, but it's still not great. We'll find out in those seven games head-to-head. This one from the 847, love the Brewers, but a huge red flag. It showed up in the NLCS last year. Seventh inning. Runners on second and third and one out. Gary strikes out on three pitches. Lockridge strikes out on three pitches. Johnny Rockets is an average AAA ball player. Yelly's often weak. If you don't score, you don't win the NLCS. Take a shot. You bring up a couple young kids. I'm going to be honest with you here, 847. Johnny's not going to take another at-bat probably beyond this week. Okay? I mean, he is emergency depth while Bryce Terang recovers and Cooper Pratt's on the IL. Right, Ornelas is not going to be on the postseason roster. If Gary's taking an at-bat in the postseason, that means either Williams slumping or it's a key spot against a left-handed pitcher. Right, so I'm not too worried about that as much as you are, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, for Yelich, the only way out is through, and there's a lot to suggest that his offensive numbers, he's been getting some bad luck with his quality of contact. This one from the 630, Jake was so solid. How about that play at the plate? Yeah, aggressive send from Matt Erickson. You'll hear it on the highlights in just a moment. Coming around from second, trying to score. Throw from Teoscar was online on a hop, and Bowers dove to the backside of the plate, almost jumping over the tag from Rortvedt. He's a sneaky, great base runner, despite not being the fleetest of foot. So I'm a big fan of what Jake Bowers can do all over the field. And Jeff from Elkhorn, the rest day is huge. It ends up being a decent trip. The Dodgers look frustrated when Sanchez catches. They should let the pitcher attempt the challenge. Yeah, Gary went 0-for-2 with his challenges today on the top of the strike zone. And on the six-man rotation, they're going to go probably at least one more time with the six-man rotation. We talked about that a bit in yesterday's Brewers warm-up. So the standings right now. Brewers at 77-48, best record in baseball, 2.5 games clear of the Atlanta Braves, who defeated the Diamondbacks today 5-3. If the playoffs started tomorrow, the Brewers would be the one seed, the Braves would be the two seed, the Dodgers would be hosting a best of three series with the San Diego Padres, with the San Diego Padres as the last team in. Philly would be going to Chicago for a best of three series. Spicy. 6 weeks to go. Murph's coming up next here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers get a dub. Everybody liked that. And we all get to enjoy a happy flight and a happy off day tomorrow. Brewers get the win 6-2 over the Dodgers. And a reminder, the tiebreaker, how it works. If let's say the Dodgers and Brewers end up tied, let's say for the two seed, right? Same record at the end of the year. They're both, you know, 98 and 64, whatever. All right. But because the Brewers won the head-to-head season series, the Dodgers have to go to a wild card round and the Brewers get the bye. That's why it's so important to get that tiebreaker, because there's no more game 163. Murph, coming up here in a moment. Around Wisconsin, a handshake still means something, and that's why old-fashioned roofing feels right at home here. So veteran-owned, Wisconsin-built, and just like Pat Murphy, they believe in telling it to you straight. The Pat Murphy post-game press conference is presented by old-fashioned roofing. Here's
Murph. I mean, it's not all about getting him through the seventh, but that is a sign of him taking a step up. You know, he's got to trust his defense, trust his teammates. But he did an unbelievable job. It was an unbelievable outing.
Changeup looked like it was pretty effective for him today when he wasn't getting the fastball with.
Yeah, but his fastball sets up everything, you know. And but a changeup was great, and obviously to hold the Dodgers that type of lineup to one run in seven innings is amazing. And a few hits and one walk, right? One walk.
Yep.
But yeah, he was outstanding. I mean, hats off to him and the job that Bowers did at the plate. It's just like a one-man wrecking crew. We looked at the bottom of our order, 6 through 9, was 1 for 17 with 11 Ks and one walk. But when you think of what Churio did his last three, Bowers and, you know, Lara and Contreras and Vaughn contributing, but Churio and Bowers, that's just amazing.
Heard from Bowers, you know, in San Diego, he had talked to us about like wanting everybody to kind of chill and trust the guy behind you. Do you think that this was like a leadership series?
That's baseball. I mean, that's baseball for you. But yes, I mean, that showed his leadership, and that, you know, he trusts the guys, and he took a step up and took the responsibility to play well this whole series.
What do you think of the offense in Skubal?
Escobar's great, man. I mean, he's a great pitcher because he's not just 99 when he needs it. He's got a great changeup, a great slider. Threw a slider for strikes, threw the changeup when he needed to, and you're trying to honor a 96 to 99, and then you're going to try to stay on the changeup. He's a really tough at bat. I mean, the guy's a great pitcher. You know?
Do you feel like you guys put some good swings on him early?
Yeah, I mean, William leading off the game, I think there was a couple.
Jackson
just missed one, but just miss is what great pitchers do. They get you to just miss. And he's all he's built up to be, that's for sure.
I thought Skubal didn't pitch poorly. It's just the Brewers waited him out and got to him in that third time through in the order to score two runs against him. So let's relive it. Coming up next, highlights on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Run!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Big rubber match in this one. The Brewers get a victory. They would claim the tiebreaker, and woo, there were narratives. Tarik Skubal on the mound for the Dodgers. Logan Henderson on the mound for the Brewers. Logan started out strong, scoreless first two frames of work, but it was the top of the second inning when the Brewers got something going with two outs against Tarik Skubal. A Lockridge walk, then a single by Jonathan Ornelas with two outs and two strikes kept the inning alive. William Contreras would walk with two strikes to load the bases and put it in play. You never know what can happen.
Here's the pitch. Chopper over the mound. Tough play. Betts has it. Shovels and it's dropped. It's dropped by the second baseman, Tommy Edman. And the Brewers strike first against Skubal.
They don't ask how, they ask how many. So Lara doesn't get an RBI for the error on what should be credited to Mookie Betts. However, the Dodgers would respond in the fourth on a home run from Max Muncy, making it a 1-1 ball game. Then both pitchers started to settle in. But in the fifth inning, the Brewers avoided the shutdown frame. First, though, the first two guys are retired. In Contreras and Lara, they did their best work with two outs in this one. A two-out, two-strike double by Jackson Churio set the stage for Jake Bowers.
The stretch, here it is. Looping liner into shallow right, a base hit. Churio will score, and the Brewers take a 2-1 lead. Bowers is 3-for-3 against Tarik Skubal.
How about it? So the Brewers reclaimed the lead, and in the bottom half of that fifth inning, it only took 9 pitches for Henderson to get through the bottom half of the Dodger order. Scooble responded by striking out the side in the sixth in a fit of anger. He actually reached a career high in innings pitched in a game today. But it's still 2-1 as we move to the seventh inning, and once again, the first two batters were retired before a rally got going for the crew. A two-out single by Jackson Churio would chase the reliever Henriquez from the game. They would go to the lefty Vezia once again for Jake Bowers like they did on Thursday, and that didn't work
out. Here's the 1-0 to Bowers, and a liner into left center field. That's going to plug the gap and roll all the way to the wall. Churio around second. He's not stopping at third. Matt Erickson gives him the windmill, and the Brewers played a huge insurance run here in the seventh inning on an RBI double from Jake Bowers. 4-for-4 today for the Southern California native.
Huge day for Jake. They weren't done. The very next pitch to Andrew Vaughn.
Vezia kicks and delivers, and Vaughn rockets one through the left side and into left field. Around third is Bowers. Here comes the throw from Hernandez. Bowers slides in there safely. Got to the backside of the plate, and the Brewers lead it 4-1.
And that played into the calculus to send Logan Henderson back out for the seventh inning, just like he did on Monday against San Diego. However, the first man reached, and Andy Páez with the first and only walk of the day against Logan. He got Muncy to fly out. He got Betts to strike out. And on the 11th pitch of a battle with Kyle Tucker, Henderson let him know.
Henderson brings home the 3-2, and it's a tapper. Off the mound is Henderson. He fields, runs to the first base bag himself, and retires Tucker and Logan Henderson with 7 innings here this afternoon at Dodger Stadium. We'll leave this game with a 4-1 lead. A sensational performance from Logan.
But there was one last bit of stress. Coming in the eighth inning, Chad Patrick entered after a misplay at second by Ornelas allowed a one-out single, then a rocket by Hunter Fiducia put runners on first and third, and only one out. The tying run coming to the plate in Shohei Ohtani. Despite throwing 2 innings yesterday, Aaron Everyday Ashby got the pitch he needed.
Ashby's 2-0 pitch. Ground ball to second, double play ball. Ornelas goes to second for one. On to first, 2, double play, inning over. Ornelas, who had a couple of balls to him that he kicked, he didn't kick that one. 4-6-3, and the Brewers get out of it unscathed.
That was the last threat for the Dodgers in this one. Then the Brewers added 2 unearned insurance runs in the ninth. Yeah, garbage time homer in the bottom of the ninth for Andy Páez. Big deal. Brewers win 6-2. They take the series over the Dodgers. Best record in baseball. They have the tiebreaker on LA. So let's preview the week ahead after this off day and say goodnight here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, last couple minutes or so of the show. Remember, Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts, where you can get these shows. Brewers All Access. I'm Dominic Catronio. Off day tomorrow. Enjoy it. Don't think about baseball for once in your life. I probably won't be able to do it. I'll probably be watching Cubs White Sox because I'm a sicko. This week, back to the regular start times for the Mariners series. 6:40 on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then a 1:10 getaway day on Thursday. And keep in mind, if you're coming this weekend, Friday and Saturday are both day games. Friday is a 3:10 first pitch. Saturday is a 1:10 first pitch because the Brewers are getting ready to go to Williamsport after the game on Saturday to go play the Atlanta Braves at the Little League Classic. So keep that in mind. Friday is a 3:10 game against Atlanta. The reason they're doing it is to keep the guys on a regular schedule, not go day game, travel, night game, off day, right? It's just go day game, travel, night game, off day. It's a lot easier to do it that way. So we are looking forward to bringing you some coverage, some fun content on the way as well from that Little League Classic in Williamsport. It'll be my first time there. So looking forward to what we can cook up for you out there in PA. Brewers at 77-48, the best record in baseball. And man, vibes are getting back to normal. This team's looking like itself once again. Enjoy your off day, everybody. I'll be back with you on Tuesday night as the Brewers take on the Mariners. Our producer has been Evan Witalison. I'm Dominic Catronio. keep on swinging.